coming to you undead from a confined space of...
who are we kidding? It's a walk-in closet in Tempe, Arizona. It's the Out of the Coffin Podcast!
This is episode 82 of the Out of the Coffin Podcast.
Cast. Okay.
It is May 13th, 2012, which means it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, sexy. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to all those happy mommies that are mommies, aren't mommies. Love mommies, pretend mommies, step mommies, every kind of mommies.
Everyone has a mommy.
And wrapping up and, you know, Egyptian mummy tombs
mummies.
Too. Mummies too. Even
Happy
mummies.
Mummies Day.
Even mummies get Mummies Day. That's right.
Sorry.
Okay. That's right. Because half the mummies that go to spas wrap themselves up like that anyway. So
that's true.
It counts. It counts. Just as many herbs too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've been away for a while. Apologies for that. We've been busy.
We know we missed you.
Hope you missed us. But we are here to talk about the news. All right, have a couple of news stories to chat about.
Yes. What?
First is, there is a great web series documentary that you can find online. It's called Vampires New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Also just known as Vampires the Show.
Okay.
They just wrapped up their first 10 episodes. I have a feeling that was just for New Orleans.
Okay.
And then they're probably going to go somewhere else. My guess would be New York if I was pitching the show.
The Mother House, yeah.
I would probably go there. But, you know, they're all over the place. And so, but the series was very good. They're 10 short episodes, so it's not like a long, even half-hour episodes. They're really good. Episode 3 is of special note because it shows how one vampire Balthazar, how he feeds.
Now, hold on.
These are real vampires.
This is not hooky, shiny. This isn't fun, tardy. This is the real thing.
Fun, tardy? What?
Well, tarts. Like young kids, tarts. Really young kids.
That's a new term.
No, it's not. It's tart. Honestly not. No, it's called tots. It's really not.
Wait, tots like small children tots?
No, that's tater tot. No.
Yeah, these
and
are...
Then, and then fathers of them are called Pop-Tarts.
Why am I the soundboard now?
I should never, ever have caffeine first thing in the morning for breakfast. This is awesome.
No, this is a documentary of real vampires. People who live in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sanguinarians, they're psychic vampires, there's... vampires.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pranic vampires. That's what I was looking for.
Pranic.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some of them practice voodoo, some of them are Wiccan, some mm-hmm. are all different walks of society, but it kind of culminates with the Eternal Night ball that they throw there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not, it doesn't specifically revolve around that, but there's like, I want to say about six or so people that they talk to and about and everything. It's really cool.
Now, I just want to throw in a note is that if you say someone, let's say someone is an actual physical vampire, and then you say there are Wiccans and there are pagans and then there's voodoo, just remember that being a vampire is more of a condition. It's not necessarily like a religion.
No.
It's saying that I have high blood pressure, but I'm also a Wiccan.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really the same thing. I just want to make that very, very clear. It's like someone might get tripped up and say, oh, no, it's more of a condition than it is a religious state of being. So
true.
I just want to let you know.
But some do form houses.
This is true.
Religious kind of doctrines that go along with the
and
rules.
I have that And I was mother of that at right. one point. But the thing that's very interesting also is to some people that's a little side thing. I'm totally streaming off just a little bit. People would say, well, you can't be a good person and be a vampire because, you know, harm none.
Right.
That's not entirely correct because you
Well, if you have a donor, then you're not harming them.
With consent.
Right.
That's and why that I goes said
donor,
into
not victim.
This goes into donor's rights. And I had caffeine. That's
By
just
the way,
Belfazar
is one of the folks who worked mm-hmm. on the donor's rights.
By the way, when, how many? Do you have any idea, like how many seasons? Like, is it going to be like a seasonal thing?
Oh, I sent a tweet off to them to find out what's they're going to be doing next.
Mm-hmm.
But they did say season one finale, so I'm hoping there will be a season two.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems logical to me they'll go to another city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they're going to talk to more people in New Orleans, that is just going to continue. That's just going to continue the stereotype that all vampires are from New Orleans, and that's not true.
No, it's not.
In fact, I would say probably the largest collections are in New York and LA, right?
This is true, yeah.
So, but
I believe it is, yeah.
That's my perception, mm-hmm. so I think a show like this should discuss that.
What, they don't all live in Forks?
They don't all live in Forks.
What? This isn't true?
Excellent.
How could they live in LA? No, it's sunny there.
It's sunny there.
How could they do that?
Don't know. All right. Okay. Moving on.
Moving on. I'm sorry. Chug, chug, chug.
Okay. Every year, the Horror Writers Association gives an award for different stories and all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But they create what's called the Bram Stoker Award.
Awesome.
Okay. This year, to commemorate the centennial anniversary of Bram Stoker's passing.
Oh, yeah.
They decided to create a one-off special award for Vampire Novel of the Century.
Oh, wow.
And the...
Dracula!
No. No, because that was before he passed.
Okay.
So it couldn't be Dracula, you see. And the winner was I Am Legend by Richard Matheson, which I think I can agree with.
Yeah.
But that's some pretty stiff competition. I mean, that means Anne Rice...
Mm-hmm.
Over Anne Rice, over Stephen King's Salem's Lot,
yeah.
and any other vampire book
related
you can think
book,
of.
Yours?
I don't think mine was even in the running, my dear, but thank you. I mean, we're talking, you know, when I think of vampire novels just in the last 100 years, I immediately think of Interview with the Vampire.
So do I.
Absolutely,
because she's the pivot point right there. She was the pivot point.
However, I Am Legend is one of those books that other people point to and say, besides Dracula, this novel inspired me the most. In fact, both Anne Rice and Stephen King both said that this novel was a huge influence for them.
You're kidding. So, okay, here's a question. When was it written?
1954, I believe.
Wow.
So now, this book is also responsible for basically helping form the zombie trend as well. Because George Romero, when he created his zombie movies, the whole idea of the shambling zombie and the zombie apocalypse comes very much from I Am Legend as well.
Wow.
A lot of people
I did not know that.
A lot of people will actually debate on I Am Legend whether or not they were vampires or not.
They move too fast
from the novel, which I have not read in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen all three of the movies based off of it.
And so have we, so have I.
And none of them are 100% the same as the book.
Right.
The book originally did call them vampires. They avoided garlic and they avoided sunlight. But they didn't act like traditional vampires. So that's why people point to this as both the birth of zombies and modern vampire fiction. So
wait a minute, they all didn't look like Louis?
No, they did not all
look like Louis. God, what's wrong with these?
Barnabas.
Oh dear sweet sexy.
Or Edward Cullen.
You know, you start losing people's attention when they're not all beautiful or shiny or
brooding. These were not shiny, happy vampires.
No.
These were pretty gruesome things.
Yeah, these were creatures.
Yeah.
These were legitimate creatures.
But in the end, the main character ends up being the monster. But again, that's the whole parable of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's a good choice. It would not have been my first choice, but once I thought about it, I would agree. It has inspired a lot of people. It's had three different adaptations made out of it. So the only other movie I can think of, the other book that's had more than that, is Dracula, and it wouldn't
count.
Can
you imagine the burden on your shoulders trying to figure out the book of the century?
Absolutely.
My God.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't want that.
I would, but like I said, I would love to see the list.
I wouldn't do it sober
of
either.
of who the nominations were, because I was thinking maybe we could come up with something too.
Yeah, no, I would not even be able to even start thinking about that one. No way. Well, what else do we have?
Okay, so, and then... Didn't even say it. Thank you. speaking quasi, sort of Bram Stoker and Dracula, there's a new movie in the works, of course. This one is a new Van Helsing movie that they're working on, but it's not a sequel to Van Helsing.
Oh, man. Okay. Please don't do a reboot. Please don't do a reboot.
It is Universal Pictures.
Oh, there we go. There's an apology right there.
They're going to be doing a Abraham Van Helsing movie. So actually the character from Dracula, I'm assuming more faithful to that character
from the book.
Right. Versus what they did with Gabriel Van Helsing with Hugh Jackman. It was just an action movie.
It was, yeah.
It just happened to be named Van Helsing. And the vampire he was going against happened to be named Dracula.
Coincidence.
But that was a pure
independent creation.
Yeah.
Right.
Of the myth.
This is our beloved Abraham.
Presumably.
Abraham Van Helsing. Our beloved Abraham.
Right. It was supposed to be sort of a movie of, I would assume, Dracula from Van Helsing's point of view.
Can I tell you something? I know this is terrible.
Yeah.
Because we love these characters. We've grown up with these characters.
Yeah.
I can't think of... I'm sorry. And I mean this with sincerity.
Yeah.
I can't think of Abraham Van Helsing without putting Mel Brooks there. I can't. Dead loving it. Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
I love that movie so much. And I loved Mel Brooks in that. He's my favorite Van Helsing.
Okay. Well, wait till he tell you who's been optioned for the role.
Edward Collins?
No!
As an old guy?
No.
What? No. Oh. George Clooney.
No! But close.
What?
Close.
No, wait, no. One more. Third guess?
One more guess.
Third guess?
Okay. It's someone who's played a vampire before. Yes.
Barnabas is dead.
No, it can't be.
That would be irony, though, wouldn't it?
It would be cool if Jonathan Frid played Abraham.
Played
Helsing.
The vampire hunt. No, okay. I am fresh out of ideas. Dig something up for me.
Tom Cruise. Wait, I think she just had an embolism. Are you okay, Michelle?
He played Lestat.
Yeah, I know.
They're just going to put a gray wig on him now.
He's old enough. Have you seen Tom Cruise?
No.
Rock of Ages is going to be awesome. But,
oh my God.
Yeah, but no, still, Tom Cruise.
What's that movie that we love? The Disposables, the Dispensables, you know? All the retirement home action guys?
Yeah, the Expendables, whatever.
They could have got one from there. It's like, yeah, we need a retired old actor. Any hands? Tom Cruise.
Yep.
Why?
Making that up.
Why?
I don't know. But he's been attached to it. See, here's the thing.
Because he was Lestat.
Maybe.
That's like
they could have picked
irony,
anybody.
The irony is like, can Edward Collins to play Van Helsing? No. Interview with Vampire, no one remembers that because it's all shiny. Sure, let's throw in Tom Cruise.
Right.
Are we talking the same Tom Cruise? We're not talking about different Tom Cruise?
No, we were talking about formerly of Interview with the Vampire, Tom Cruise. Yeah. No.
My head hurts.
It could be interesting.
My head hurts so bad.
This is interesting enough. This is one of the reasons why when they made the Van Helsing movie, like almost, God, that's been 10 years almost, with Hugh Jackman, his character wasn't called Abraham Van Helsing because Universal wanted to hold on to the rights for that name because of this movie that they wanted to do. Oh, but they still put out that other movie because they wanted to celebrate Universal's anniversary at the time with all of
monsters.
The Universal monsters.
It was monsters,
so it was
yeah.
all of them. It was Dracula,
yeah.
it was the Wolfman, and it was Frankenstein. So they wanted to celebrate that. So,
and that was awesome that they did that.
Right, but then it became a vehicle for Hugh Jackman to be this action character in a black leather trench and hat.
And we loved it.
But so then they couldn't call him Abraham Van Helsing.
No, we couldn't. They called him
And
Gabriel.
They didn't call Dracula. They called him Vladislav Dracula, you know. So
whatever.
It's obviously not the characters from Bram Stoker's novel. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I don't know anything more about it than that. Except it's another one of the many reboots that Hollywood is going through. And while I wouldn't think of Tom Cruise, I didn't think of Tom Cruise for Lestat either.
I know, they gave him a lot of slack on that, saying he wouldn't be able to play a vampire and stuff like that.
Right. So,
true.
So we shall see.
And everyone loved Louis.
Only time will tell.
Brad Pitt. Sexy.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt would make an awesome...
Van Helsing?
An assistant. Abraham's assistant.
They could get Brad Pitt to be Dracula.
That would be irony. That would be true movie irony. Yes.
Actually, I would be curious to find out who they get to be Dracula.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right. What else we got?
Well, that's it for the news.
That's it for the news. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I want to throw in a side note.
Okay.
We went to the Second Friday Goth... No. Steampunk Street in Mesa, Arizona.
Yes, Friday.
It was super awesome.
As always.
And I want to say that there were an awful lot... There was a zombie parade.
Yeah, they do that.
There was a zombie parade, and all of them walked by through the vendors area, the sidewalks, and it was really great. I am just smiling ear to ear. I am so happy that zombies are in style now, because I'm so tired of the whole vampire thing.
People dressing up as vampires?
Yes, people dressing up as vampires.
Okay.
That aren't vampires. So okay. I am very happy about that. Because now I am happy. Because the pendulum has swung.
Yeah, but there were vampire hunters out there, though.
Yeah, and I feel very, very uncomfortable about that. I didn't even know we should talk about that. Because just seriously, looking at the water, holy water grenades,
mm-hmm.
and chill went up my spine. Seriously. Someone bless them, because I've seen them before.
Yeah,
and they never bothered me. For some reason, that one night, I think someone blessed them. That's my opinion. Okay, sorry.
Could be.
Side note.
Anyways, so yes. while we're talking about that, we also went by
Monsterland Bar and Grill.
Yes.
They're
also in downtown Mesa.
Downtown Mesa, the coolest restaurant I think. Like. This side of Phoenix. It has to be.
That means nothing.
Well, seeing that Phoenix is like the center of the universe besides Tempe.
Tempe is the center of the universe.
Well, yeah, so it's this side of Tempe, but we're next to Tempe. So that doesn't make any sense. We're east of Phoenix, so at least it works.
Okay.
So Monsterland is this new... It is a restaurant. It is a bar. It is a grill. However,
I'm sure they have a grill.
I'm sure they do, because they need to cook the monster somehow. It is actually a haunted house. You need to...
It's in a strip mall,
yeah.
And it's set up like a haunted house. So mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't mean it's an old house that's haunted. She means it's set up like a Halloween scream
mm-hmm.
fest.
They got the maze.
Right.
They got the maze. And I talked to the people that worked there when they first opened. And mm-hmm. downstairs in the basement, there used to be... a Halloween haunted house attraction. How's that? So people know what it is, right?
And they probably open that up every Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the people that took over want to work on that and say, you know what, this is the perfect area, it's a perfect location, and that place was packed.
Yeah, it was pretty busy.
That was awesome to see. You know, mom and pop owners, way cool. We're for that.
So
what did you think? What was your opinion when you saw it?
The inside of the restaurant kind of reminded me of Trans, in a way,
mm-hmm.
which was a club in Phoenix that we sadly, sorely miss.
They moved.
They moved, but it's not the same. Mm-hmm. But it's set up inside like a big spooky kind of castle with the trees and the creepy branches and everything.
And the monsters
and
overhead
and
stuff like that.
And black light and everything. Yep. It looks really cool. I didn't get to see any of the waiters and waitresses, so I don't know if they were dressed up like zombies or anything.
When I was there, when it was really quiet in the afternoon, the waitresses, the hostess wore a black satin cape.
Okay.
Or black crushed velvet cape.
Okay.
With the hood.
Sure.
So I know that some of them dress up. I don't know if they do dress up like vampires and stuff. I don't know.
Have to. I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but we did get a look at their menu, even though we didn't get to sit down and eat yet.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at their menu, and the prices are pretty decent. You're paying for atmosphere, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. But they all looked really good. Of what we could actually eat, we could probably get away with a burger without a bun, but everything else I think I'd probably
chips.
Have a problem with.
We'll do the chips, nachos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had lots of different choices. Mm-hmm.
They had salads, too.
Yeah, all of them with kooky, names.
Which we love.
Yes.
We love, like human fingers instead of chicken fingers, stuff like that, The fun stuff.
Right. So, unlike Vampire Burgers, which is the one with, all the garlic sauce
mm-hmm.
on it, stuff like that.
Blech. So, monsterland.com?
I believe so.
Excuse me, sorry.
I'll have the link in the show notes.
Okay. Wait,
but
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Neat. Oh, I love that place. I love it for a sight. As soon as I saw it, I fell in
love
with it.
Love it for spite.
Oh, I haven't eaten there yet. Can't say that.
Okay. Love it for sight then.
Yeah, love it for sight. Oh, yeah. And,
we'll definitely
go
back and
the sad part is when I walked in there with Brandy, I yelled really loud, "I'm home!" That's how it felt. And I do that in the old big Halloween stores, too.
Yes.
I'm home. And my kids got tired of that. Like, please stop embarrassing me.
All right,
what else we got?
We're going to take a break. Before I do, mm-hmm. I've got a shout-out.
Shout-out!
Yes, to a listener. His name is Brad Adair. And he wrote us, and he says, "I just finished Lilith's Love for the second time, and I enjoyed it every bit as the first time. Also, I'm muddling through the older podcasts, and they are great also. Michelle has a great laugh." It's probably not the one, but that's the one.
Thank you.
And he says, "This is what podcasts are for. Thanks."
Someone listens to us?
Yes. His name is Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Brad.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about TV.
TV! Woo!
Right after this.
Hello, my name is Mike Bennett, and I've got 1 minute to tell you about my podcast novel, Underwood and Flinch, which is tricky because the story is really rather big, so I'll just give you the bullet points. Underwood and Flinch is a vampire novel of what I suppose in these post-Twilight days you might call the old school. Add to the mix a Spanish location, a brutal Russian mafia, and a good man trying to do the right thing in almost overwhelmingly evil circumstances, and you've got just the beginning of Underwood and Flinch. It was a finalist in the 2010 Parsec Awards for Best Long-Form Story, winner of the 2011 Polidori Award for Best Vampire Novel, and has been described by Walt Kalender of Examiner.com as one of the best podcasts ever. With nearly 40 episodes, it's epic in size, content, and scope, and is a suspenseful, frightening, and at times rip-roaring adventure. You can download it now from iTunes and UnderwoodandFlinch.com. Thank you. Whew, that was exciting.
Spiders and snails and puppy dog tails, shakers and bakers with bloody long nails, keep their appearance with buttons and bows, hearing and appearing at the dark...
HorrorAddicts.net, a variety show and blog with news on horror books, movies, comics, anime, games, events, fashion and lifestyles for the dark inclined. Featuring the audio drama Goth House, the latest in industrial music from GraveConcernsEZine.com, and fiction from new and seasoned authors. With listener-judged annual contests such as the Wicked Women Writers Challenge and the Masters of the Macabre Men's Story Competition. Hostess Emrian Rich serves up a virtual banquet of gory delights to satisfy even the most ravenous horror enthusiast. With theme music by Saints of Ruin. Get your fix at HorrorAddicts.net, a delightful diversion to satisfy your Stygian soul.
La 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 Hi, guys. Hello, this is Gail Carriger, author of Parasol Protectorate series, and you are listening to the Out of the Coffin podcast. Hi, Michelle!
We are back. Yay! See, I can do stuff, too.
Yep. And we're going to talk about a television show called Lost Girl.
Dan is going to talk about it.
Well, actually, you watched episodes of this before I did, somehow.
Yes, because you didn't pester me. Okay, for the record, I knew about Lost Girl before Dan did, and I told him about it. He was like, oh, wow, that's great, awesome. We should watch it. Yeah, that's great. And now that he's watching it, I have no interest in it now.
See what I have to deal with.
But sometimes I do catch it when I'm channel surfing. I'll see it, and I'll, like, land on it, check it out, and then keep surfing.
That's fine, as long as you watch it.
Because you're not bothering me. Are you watching it? Are you watching it? No.
Well, it's one of those shows I'd like to watch with you, but you don't want to watch it.
We didn't even... The Borges are awesome.
Yeah.
I like the historical ones. I love the Tudors. Excuse me. I love the Tudors.
Boardwalk Empire we have to get back to as well.
I agree with that. We've been sitting on that. But the Borges and the Tudors, super awesome. I'm totally digging the historical ones.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay. Like ancient historical.
They don't have vampires, though.
So. I know, but still.
So, moving on.
They have lawyers.
So?
Sorry. Go ahead. So, Lost Girl.
Thank you.
Make it happen.
Nice transition.
You're welcome. I like that. That's very nice.
All right. So, Lost Girl, if you haven't seen it, here in the States, it's on Sci-Fi, but it's a Canadian show that's been on for a couple years already. They've got two seasons under their belt. They're working on their third right now. But when Sci-Fi picked it up, apparently they did the first season and rolled right into the second. It started in January on Sci-Fi, and it's been on every Monday since it started, and they just rolled right into the second season. This last episode with Baba Yaga was the fourth episode from the second season. So it's like somewhere along the way, I didn't even know that they'd finished a season and moved on because they didn't take a break. So I'm assuming there will be a hiatus between the end of this one and the third season. But what Lost Girl is about, it's all about the Fae, the dark and the light Fae in our real world, and how they've been hidden for, you know, bazillions of years. But the main character, her name is Bo, is a succubus.
Succubus!
She's always known that she was weird and needed to, like, be careful because, you know, basically if she got too intimate with somebody, she would kill them because she would drain all their life force from them when she got intimate. So
Dan's learned tricks to avoid that.
Yes. So she eventually moves on because, you know, she's just got to keep moving from place to place. She can never call any place home because something always terrible happens. Well, the start of the season shows up. She's working as a waitress. Somebody comes in, he's doing terrible things, he's trying to, like, pick up somebody, and she tries to stop him, and then this other girl, her name is Kinsey, shows up, and he kind of, the bad guy ends up kind of, like, chasing after her, too. So Bo ends up saving Kinsey, and that's how they meet. Kinsey is a human, she's a scoundrel, kind of a thief, she's, you know, School of Hard Knocks, had a hard life. And I think I actually watched the show for Kinsey because she is just awesome. She's funny, snarky, and in my opinion, she's a little cuter than Bo, the succubus, but that's my opinion. And if you watch the show, she has these silver eyes that are very much the same as Lilith, Lilith in my story. So I think that's another part of it. She reminds me. If she had red hair instead of black, she would be who I would choose to play Lilith in a movie adaptation. But anyways.
Which we'll still work on that.
Right. 20 years later. That'd be awesome.
No, 25.
Oh, give it 5 years. Okay, good. Anyway, so
you
I
have
think...
to throw in 3 years of procrastinating, that's why. Sorry.
So, I think I realized as I was watching this show that the main reason I love it so much is that the characters of Bo and Kinsey, their relationship is very much the same as Lilith and Anna. From Lilith's Love.
I was going to say something about that, but I didn't want to say anything.
So, because they're just really good friends. They're out looking out for each other One of them's perfectly normal human, even though she's crazy, wacky, snarky. And the other one is this succubus who wants to try to control her ability to not hurt people. So,
know anything about that.
Right. But the thing I don't like about the show, but I've gotten over it, is that everything that's supernatural is the Fae. Everything. Including the one vampire who's been on the show.
Flaw.
Well, it's a convenient explanation, right? If I were going to write the show, I would just basically, they're all different supernatural. You would deal with the Fae, you would deal with the werewolves, you would deal with the vampires.
They're part of every living day.
And you could deal with all those different legends, having to deal with all of succubuses as well. But instead, what they've done is they've said, Bo, she's a succubus, but she's Fae. Dyson, her love interest, is a werewolf, but he's just a shape-shifting Fae.
Okay.
So
that's very canned, though, isn't it? It's well, very, very canned.
But it's convenient because they get to explain it all that way. But that's it. That's my weakness about it. I think that if they had not gone that route, it would be more interesting. But it's a convenient plot point for them because now they've got the dark and the light forces that have to compete. And Bo refuses to choose. She is a Ronin. She does not want to be light or dark. So, and she's a private investigator, so she kind of takes cases for both sides, though usually for the light. It's a good show. It's not vampires, so if you're burned out on vampires...
Go to zombies!
Well, there haven't been any zombies yet, because they're just
there
dead
will
people.
Be. There will be.
I don't think zombies would be Fae.
Oh, there will be a zombie face. Someone has to just say, I don't believe in you. Right. Then boom, instant zombie.
Okay. But
what? That's how you kill...
It's a great supernatural show, kind of like Buffy, but not exactly. But it's that same kind of, you know, big bad of the week kind of show with mysteries. And it's very well done. But it is the dynamic between Bo and Kinsey that keeps me coming back. So, enough about Lost Girl, and moving on to The Vampire Diaries, another television show that Michelle refuses to watch with me.
Oh, I've refused from the start.
Yes. They just had their season finale for season 3, and oh my fucking god, this show just gets better every time, and Michelle is just stubborn for not wanting to watch this show.
I don't like soap opera.
It's not a soap opera, this and yet you like Dark Shadows.
Deal with it.
The difference is these are teenagers. That's your hang up.
Deal with it. Anyway. It's not about me, it's about your show.
Right, so The Vampire Diaries is fucking awesome, and they have, I'm going to now give you the spoiler alert.
Doot, doot, doot.
Spoiler
doot,
alert.
Doot, doot, doot.
You have been warned.
Doot, doot, doot.
Okay. They finally turned Elena into a vampire.
Just to let you know, I don't have to watch the shows. I have you.
I know,
see?
Yeah, fuck you.
Okay. I'm living vicariously through you without watching the show. See? It's right. Perfect.
So, for those of you who watched the shows...
Who turned her?
I'll get to that in just a second. For those of you who watched the shows and read the books, you'll know that in the very first book, Elena gets turned into a vampire and has to deal with that. So
it only took how many seasons?
3 seasons, but they did that on purpose. For one thing, the show...
Ratings.
And I know Ems can agree with this. It's completely different than the books. So if you're a huge fan of the books and you don't like a TV show to be different, I think that's the biggest reason why Ems doesn't watch the show. She didn't like the fact that it was so different. But I never read the books, so I don't have that hang-up.
You don't have that bias.
Yeah. Right. I happen to really enjoy the TV series. All the characters have evolved... have become very good. All of the big bads are very complex. When somebody good becomes somebody bad, it's for a very explicit and good reason. The twists are well written. And yes, finally, at the end of this 3rd season, Elena has become a vampire. So a lot of people are going to be like, oh my god, why did they do that? Well, it was expected, really. I mean,
it's a given.
She's going to become. I mean, that's why it's The Vampire Diaries. It's not about Stefan. It's about her. She's writing these fucking diaries. So she becomes a vampire. So it's taken them 3 years, but I don't think that it's been any kind of, like, drawn out, painful kind of thing.
There's been lots of stuff.
It's been well done, and I think you needed to have 3 seasons worth of drama, because if you didn't, you wouldn't see Elena evolving into who she's become.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the question is, what is she going to do now that she's a vampire? She's got to deal with this, and exploring not only her.
Are the boys still fighting over her left, right, and sideways?
Of course, but at the end of this season, she finally picked one. Do you care?
Yeah, of course I do. Okay. The dark one or the light one?
She chose Stefan, the good, quote-unquote, good
right.
brother.
Shady. The right. shady brother, right?
No, that would be Damon. Damon was the best. What do you mean by shady?
Well, you're going air quotes for light one, so I assume it's a little shady.
Because Stefan is not just, you know, happy, shiny, broody, good guy vampire. He had his dark side, too.
Like Angel.
Kind of, but not like a triggered, like, curse kind of thing. They called him the Ripper, though. Because he had a tendency in the 20s to literally rip people's mm-hmm. heads off mm-hmm. of them. So he had anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
Probably if you had Damon as a brother, you'd probably go a little schizo as well. But see, that's what I mean. Stefan wasn't always just the good vampire and Damon the bad boy, you know. And the reason why she did kind of fall for Damon at one point is because he wasn't just this douchebag prick, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He did have a heart, but... One of my favorite lines came from a couple of episodes back was, she asked him, why don't you show people your good side? And he basically said, when people see good, they expect good, and I don't want to have to live up to anybody's expectations.
Yay.
I said, that is Damon in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's bad or he's evil or a douche, but once you do something good, it's expected of you, and he doesn't want to have to deal with that. He wants to just... live his own fucking life.
Awesome.
So I thought that was brilliant. I liked that. Now, to answer the question of who turned mm-hmm. Elena, I'm not going to say.
Okay.
But it wasn't one of the brothers. I'll just put it that way. It was
dun,
not
dun, one of the dun.
So I won't say how or what happened as to why she became a vampire, but it finally happened. It was very heartbreaking.
Was she dying?
Yeah, well, that's how you become a vampire, yes.
That usually
she died.
Helps. Uh-huh.
And, of course, her dying had other effects as well. It wasn't mm-hmm. just, oh, darn, she became a vampire. We saw that coming. It was, there was a reason why she should or should not have died and why mm-hmm. she had to become a vampire, et cetera, and so on. So, a lot of characters' motivations have changed throughout these 3 years. Mm-hmm. All of her friends. Bonnie the Witch, she's not going bad or evil or dark or anything, but... She's not just the sweet, fluffy bunny,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm a little psychic witch anymore. She's evolved as well. Caroline, my favorite character, who was kind of the snotty blonde cheerleader, has mm-hmm. evolved. All the characters are awesome, so...
That's super cool.
I will probably rewatch the finale. You don't have to join me, but I'm probably going to watch it again, because it was just so awesome.
Did you cry?
I did cry. The episode that made me cry even more was, well, it was basically the one where Rick died. But
aww.
That was very sad. But that one, everyone came together and kind of like, they were there for him in his last
aww.
Moments. It was very sad.
Aww.
That one I cried even more.
I'm sorry.
Ish. But of course this one was sad too. Because there was, like, decisions and you didn't know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very cool.
So I'm looking forward to the 4th season. I'm assuming that's going to be in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Fall!
Yeah, right. I know. But all very good stuff.
Super cool. Is there anything else on the news or anything? TV?
Well, that's it for TV, but TV is a good bridge to talk about Dark Shadows.
Wee-oo!
Waves crashing.
I love the my favorite part of the just all from the 60s, especially the 60s, was the model.
Of
it's
the
only
house.
A model.
Yes.
Yes, I love that. Don't care, because every time you switch to a scene,
right,
you focus on where are they in the house. So it's so cool.
Right. Well, and I thought they did. So we saw the movie.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Depp. Yeah.
I
mm-hmm.
thought one of the cool things that I almost applauded when I saw it in the movie was when they would do those scene transitions
mm-hmm.
in the movie. They did that. Crashing waves, and a shot of the house. So you kind of panned around the house a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not quite exactly the same, but an homage there as well. So that's as much a character of the TV show as any of the people. Mm-hmm. It was just
the feel of it. The feel of it, yeah.
So
that was awesome. That was super awesome.
So we saw Dark Shadows. Good news, it didn't suck.
It did not suck. So the reboot is okay. Repeat, it is okay. Repeat, it is okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was life-shattering, but it was a fun vampire romp.
I'm not going to call it riveting or anything like that. And we have agreed that we're going to purchase it just for the sake of having it in the collection. But I would call it more of a gem if we actually had some of the original Dark Shadow series in our collection. That would feel more appropriate than a Tim Burton, Johnny Depp movie. No offense, but, you know.
No, I agree. I had always wanted to get the NBC 1991 reboot
which they series. Were doing a marathon on.
Right, they were just doing a marathon of that, which
I watched a few of those, too.
Okay. That was a really good series.
Mm-hmm.
If I could find that one on DVD, I would get it. I have not been able to find that in such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The original from the 60s and the 70s, that's out there, but it's expensive because it's like 100 DVDs. I mean, it's a long series
of
daily episodes.
Do they have like year one, year two, year like anything like that where we can get like the first, just the first few years?
They've probably tried to consolidate some of those into... Mm-hmm. season blocks, but I heard that they recently released it in like a single, all of them in a coffin shaped box.
That's awesome.
Would be very awesome, but I think very cost prohibitive.
Can you give me an eyeball?
I don't know. Ooh. I didn't even bother looking because I just know it would be like in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Buffy, which had 7 seasons, is about $200.
Oh my god!
I can only imagine how much Dark Shadows. And for me to really want to get that, it would have to be restored. It would have to look really good as a DVD set.
Mm-hmm. Extras, too.
If it was really grainy.
Well, they'd have to be 60s. Remastered.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So, because that would just, you know, for anyone who's got a HD television now and you watch, like, for example, old episodes of Star Trek.
Oh, well.
You know what I'm talking about. Oh, it looks like shit.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
And the rubber monsters look extraordinarily cheesy because of the different, you know, size screen, and you get to actually see like, oh look, there's a fish line there, you know.
Right. And that's what I'm afraid of with Dark Shadows. I would want to make sure that it was digitally remastered specifically for DVD. I don't want a Blu-ray of this, for God's sakes, but if it's gonna be DVD, it's gotta look good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I would consider it if they're working on that. And I'm assuming they are with the movie coming out.
The reboot,
out.
Yeah. I hope so, yeah.
Okay, so what do you want to talk about first?
The storyline was awesome.
Yes.
The storyline was awesome. Yeah. I like the idea that it's a little kitschy because it actually went from the original series when he became a vampire. This one, the movie, was... He was back in the 1700s, he became the vampire, and then he got stuck in the coffin and woke up in the 70s. So it's clearly a huge jump.
Right.
Right there, which is okay. I love the storyline. For those that didn't watch the series, you can easily catch up on who everybody is.
I don't think you need to watch the series to see this
movie.
No,
it's totally independent.
I think they did a good job of explaining who everybody
and
was.
And Bob watched it, my 18-year-old son, and he loved it. He understood the characters, and so he was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I love the costumes.
Yes.
The costumes were incredible. Almost every single person had a different outfit, like every scene. And that was awesome. I liked the fact, and we sort of knew that Angelique was going to be the bad guy. We obviously knew that.
Yeah.
But to see her in a modern day businesswoman taking over the entire town and watching the Collins like squish slowly, like generation to generation, just squish them,
mm-hmm.
was seriously awesome. Obviously well planned. And I don't want to give you my rating until we're both ready.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, well, so, to me, my initial impression was that this was like a gothic Austin Powers. But I was afraid it was going to be more like that based on the trailers that we saw. Like it was going to be over-the-top comedy.
Yeah. We agreed on that, yeah.
But it wasn't, and I was thankful for that. Mm-hmm. It is a Tim Burton movie, to be sure. It's still over-the-top with the goth and everything. And I liked that. I like Tim Burton's movies. And sometimes they're not always what you expect. But in this case, I thought Tim Burton would be the best person to do this kind of movie because he brings that sort of weird...
Avant-garde.
I wouldn't call it avant-garde. I would just call it weird gothic experience to it. And I definitely think it would not have been the same movie if he hadn't directed it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like Johnny Depp as Barnabas Collins, though I don't think he really did as much as he could have with the character. He just kind of like did the crazy hands thing again, and then that was it. He was good, though.
He was very stiff. He was very, very stiff.
On purpose, though.
Yeah,
I think.
Exaggerated, so.
Right. So, you know, again, could have been somebody else in that role, but I think Johnny Depp did a pretty good job with it. What I'm disappointed by was the movie was just Barnabas and Angelique. Everyone else, including Michelle Pfeiffer as the matriarch, you know, is just, they're there for a little bit of consistency. Yeah, so it's, get the feeling that it's an ensemble. But this was a really good ensemble cast, and they didn't take advantage of it,
no.
I thought.
They were their shadows, yeah.
Even Helena Bonham Carter as the Doctor was just sort of there. And she's a foil at the end, but she's just there for drunk in the morning jokes, you know? So I thought Chloe Grace Moretz was really good as the young daughter, Caroline, whose character did evolve at the end. So her character is the one that makes the most interesting transformation, literally, at the end of the movie.
The boy was awesome.
The boy was good. He played a really good, despondent, weird little boy really well. Then Johnny Miller as Roger... he was, again, just sort of there, but at the end, he ends up being just a...
douchebag.
A douchebag, right.
And right. Thieving douchebag.
Thieving douchebag, and he leaves. So, again, it's sort of
He didn't even have a purpose, really. He didn't really have a purpose in the story whatsoever.
Right. And
as a character-wise, he had no support in the story role whatsoever.
And I'm trying to remember Roger from the original series, and I don't really that much. I should probably go back and reinvestigate. But his character was just there to sort of take one little thread of the story, present it, and then throw it away. He's just there to be the non-dad for the boy who's had this really crappy life. So he's got to be kind of a douchebag. Otherwise, the boy wouldn't have had the really crappy life, right? So, all told, I mean, I like the movie. I agree with the music. Actually, I think the one song they should have used that they didn't was Afternoon Delight. I think that would have been appropriate for when Barnabas and Angelique are getting it on.
Sex scene. Interesting.
Instead, I don't even remember which song they were playing because it was irrelevant.
Right.
It was awkward. It was kind of funny that they chose that song, but then it kept playing and they kept going at it. And it was sort of like, wait a minute. What?
It's obviously we're using a rolling room. And then they had the strings attached to them because they were just flying everywhere and it was hysterical.
Right.
It was really fun. It was like, you know, if Barnabas ever got on, what do you think would happen? Oh, they destroy the room. Okay. Right. Let's work on that. Right. You know?
They obviously had fun filming that scene and that's cool. But I still think if I was going to pick a song for that, I would have either picked... Was it a Barry White song? I don't even remember.
No, it was not a Barry White song, no.
But
it wasn't.
I think... I immediately
imagine fuzzy white noise. That's all it was.
I just imagine Afternoon Delight would have been the perfect song for that because that would have been awkwardly appropriate. But then they didn't even go with that. So, anyways, yeah, a lot of the music choices in the movie, and even the credit roll, very 70s. They made it look like a period film.
Yeah,
I think they could have gone one step further with that and kind of even aged it a little bit if mm-hmm. they wanted to make it feel
like
a
movie.
70s movie.
Yeah.
But they didn't. So the last connection to the 70s that they had there was Christopher Lee had a cameo. He mm-hmm. was the old sailor that they were trying to get. And Barnabas got to hypnotize. So Johnny Depp got to hypnotize Christopher Lee. That was brilliant.
He wasn't in the series, though, original series.
No, that's Christopher Lee who played Dracula in all the Hammer movies.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that was a great 70s Dracula cameo there for Christopher Lee. But he was like, he had the big beard, and he was like the Gorton's Fisherman guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wouldn't recognize him if you didn't know who he was.
Loyalty. It's
right.
About loyalty.
But so just the idea that Johnny Depp got to hypnotize Christopher Lee was kind of cool.
That was awesome.
So if you're looking for the cameo for Jonathan Frid,
really fast.
You blink, you will miss them.
Really, really, you would. If you reached down to get your popcorn or your drink, you'd miss it.
Right. There's a scene where they're throwing a ball, because the Collinses have always had
big balls. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Cheesy joke, but it was funny. It's an excuse for them to have Alice Cooper in the movie.
Don't ruin it. The thing is that they were... Barnabas was greeting everyone at the door, you know,
yes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And this was me. I saw a bunch of old people walking in, and I didn't know who they were, right?
Right.
And I knew there was cameos, and I leaned over like, was that? And he's like, yes, that was them.
That was them.
Yeah. But it was so damn fast.
Right. It was just basically Barnabas welcomes them all, and they're all like, thank you for inviting us. That was them.
I think they were, what, in their 70s?
Probably.
They were really old.
Yeah, it was a really long time ago, Michelle.
Old people.
This is a 50-year-old television show. That should give you an indication of how old they were. So, anyways, long story short, too late.
Best part about the movie?
Yeah.
Two words. No, one word. Alice was the ugliest woman.
That's more than two words.
Alice Cooper. What
an ugly
woman.
That is the ugliest woman I've ever seen.
That was awesome.
But Alice looked really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
That was
the highlight. Like, go watch the ugly woman on stage. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But I liked the fact that Angelica got to use her powers because she's always been there and she's consistent and the whole town knew her for like her family, quote unquote, air quotes,
right. They think
family,
it's her family, but it's
that
her,
that's
right.
She's the daughter of dot 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 dot, right? That's awesome. But Barnabas has the power of charm and hypnotizing,
right.
And that was really awesome. That I love that because that sort of evened out, and she got to move things and. Because she's a witch and she got to move things around and stuff like that, you know. But he had his ability and he kept it on the down low and he was actually able to get some of the fishermen back. And that was really cool. Good thoughts there. Good thoughts.
So
I don't know why we didn't love it. Why?
Why didn't we
love
it?
Why didn't we love it? Because it's a good movie. And they didn't fall flat on their face. And I'm praising it because it didn't suck.
Right.
But why didn't we love it?
I think that I didn't love it because it tried to be too campy.
Mm-hmm.
It tried to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they succeeded at that. I think we know and love the original series.
Mm-hmm. And we know the characters.
We have an expectation there because of that. Because that was a drama.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, well, they rebooted that in the 90s. With the drama, and it worked well. But I think if they were going to make a 2-hour movie with the same drama, it would have been boring.
Yes, I agree.
So, okay, let's have Tim Burton direct it, Johnny Depp star in it, we'll have fun with it,
mm-hmm.
but we won't make it into a horrible parody, and it was not. It was funny.
Independent on its own.
It had little jokes, and it set up its jokes, too. Like the whole McDonald's M. That was set up in the scene previous to that. So it wasn't just like weird random 70s nostalgia
mm-hmm.
crap thrown at you. It all had a reason. And the reason for all the 70s jokes was to point out how absurd it was Barnabas comes out 200 years later,
mm-hmm.
and he sees the world around him. Now, if he'd come out in the year 2012, he'd be making iPhone jokes and Twilight jokes and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
It would not have been nearly as funny
right.
as him coming out and finding all the weirdness of the 70s. And I think that had a charm of its own, you know? I don't think that was just an homage to the original Dark Shadows. I think it was to have a little fun at the 70s expense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good for us, too, watching it now, 40 years later.
Yeah.
Because we look back at the 70s and go, man, that was a really weird decade, man.
Yeah, man. It's really groovy. Gina, what wins? Love.
Peace.
Love wins. Yeah. Peace wins. Yeah.
So we can look back on that and go, yeah, that would have been a really weird decade to wake up in, right? So we can kind of empathize with Barnabas in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another reason why they did that. But I think they tried too hard and missed too many marks. You know, I mean,
overshot.
The fact that Michelle Pfeiffer is an incredible actress.
She is.
Johnny Depp is an incredible actor.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't feel like they were these characters for some reason. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I don't think that Depp was a bad Barnabas. I think he did a really good Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
But he just wasn't Barnabas. You know what I mean? And it's not to say he wasn't Jonathan Frid. I don't mean to say that. I think it's the problem you're going to have with any reboot.
Sorry, that's me. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things where Fright Night succeeded is in that it was a complete reboot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peter Vincent was not the same creepy old guy from the TV series.
Right. They twisted it around in fun ways. Yeah, different ways. But this is just a little different. So
I think the problem is I don't think we needed a Dark Shadows reboot.
We didn't.
But see, the thing is, we didn't need a Fright Night reboot, but they did it right.
Don't know what they
there
did.
There was just something about the way they completely reimagined Fright Night,
mm-hmm.
that it worked. And they didn't.
And they had the doctor, too. Sorry, but they had the doctor, so.
But I think that's the difference. They reimagined Fright Night
mm-hmm.
for our time. They just paid homage to Dark Shadows, giving it exactly the same atmosphere, having fun with it, and it just felt like they didn't have to do that. Why did they feel like they needed to do that? It was a good movie, and it was a nice homage to something that's 50 years old,
mm-hmm.
but it just feels like they tried and it didn't pay off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I give it an 8 just because I liked everyone in it. I thought they did a good job making a movie. I just don't think they needed to make it. And I will say that if you don't like Tim Burton, don't see this movie. If you don't like Johnny Depp,
go crawl under a rock.
Don't see this movie. If you don't like the 70s,
comedies, if you don't like the comedy,
well, no, no. If you saw the trailer and you were expecting a comedy parody,
It's not.
Don't see this movie. If you don't like the 70s, if you think that making fun of the 70s mm-hmm. is kitschy and lame, don't see this movie.
And if you have any problem with anyone tampering with Dark Shadows,
right.
and you know this was me, you knew you were going to get slightly cheesed. Don't see it. Don't see it. Don't. Because I want to like it.
Well, see,
I want to like it. I do.
Ironically, I would say if you were a fan of the original show and you want to see something pay homage to it,
mm-hmm.
I would say that's probably the one group that should see this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have fond memories of mm-hmm. the original show and you want to see somebody paying loving homage mm-hmm. to that.
I think, a memorial.
Yeah.
Like a dead memorial.
Then I think you might enjoy this movie.
It's like a roast at a funeral.
Kind of.
Sort of. Isn't it?
Also, by the way, they paid condolences
to... They dedicated the movie.
To Dan Curtis,
mm-hmm.
who created the series. They didn't have enough time, of course, to add and Jonathan Frid. I think they
mm-hmm.
would have.
Yeah.
The sort of behind-the-scenes thing I saw on TV a while back
mm-hmm.
was in memory to Jonathan Frid.
Wow.
So I think the DVD and Blu-ray and everything.
We'll have it.
We'll say all of that, and they'll have proper memorial for Jonathan.
Now, he had time to show up for the movie and then passed away after
the
movie?
Yes, he passed away like a month ago, last month.
So he must have some sort of interview. He has to have some sort of behind-the-scenes interview for the DVD.
I'm sure they will.
They would have to.
I'm sure they will.
Because, I mean, how would you not want an interview with him?
With Barnabas
Collins. Right, exactly. Yeah. I hope he liked it.
From what I heard, he was happy. All of them were happy with it, which is good. But yeah, I think it's nice that they had their scene walking in.
Okay.
In the movie.
I have a theoretical question that may never happen.
Yes.
It may never happen, but I think it's in the same capsized boat we're both in right now.
Are we still talking about Dark Shadows?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
But however, I'm going to throw a scenario.
Okay.
And probably anyone listening to this is going to cringe, like, oh, don't even say that.
What?
Star Wars was made in the 70s.
Yeah,
wait. Now, I know for a fact, as long as George Lucas is alive, they'll never do it.
Bullshit.
Mm.
I guarantee you he would do it in a heartbeat.
Give 10 years, maybe. Maybe something like that. But my point is, different characters. Same characters, different actors, actresses.
Right. We've rebooted
different
Star
technology,
Trek.
Different technology.
Yeah.
Different technology, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the horror?
No, I'm actually more shocked they have not rebooted Star Wars.
I mean, Kat is snoring.
Okay. That's irrelevant.
Sorry.
So, no, that has nothing to do with Dark Shadows.
I don't know. It's still a reboot. It's still the feel of it. It's still blasphemy.
What do you give Dark Shadows?
I give it 6¾.
6¾. Can we just round that up to 7, please?
No, I'll drop it to 6.
Ooh.
I will. Don't take away my generosity, because
okay.
I will.
6¾.
6¾ is as high as you get from me.
Okay.
Because they were...
Just ignore her.
I think it's cute.
The airplanes are loud.
I know. But I want to like it. I really genuinely do. Even if it's just a fun gothic movie, I would still want to enjoy it.
Right.
It's sort of like, the only thing I can think of, it's sort of like that girlfriend that you had, that she wasn't really great. It's like, yeah, she's got a great personality. Like,
exactly.
You know?
You know what? You just nailed it.
I said, didn't I?
That's exactly what is wrong with this movie.
She's got a great personality. She just doesn't have the chemistry.
That's exactly what is wrong with this movie.
It's an old girlfriend.
It's an old girlfriend you had a few years back. You had fun with her, but she didn't do it for you. She had a great personality, but that's it.
And then you tried to date her again, like 20 years later,
later. You just have fun. You've looking through the
fond memories.
Fond memories.
Yeah.
But she's not the new hotness.
Nope.
You don't have. You're not excited. She's not sexy, crazy. She's not the scary ex-bitch girlfriend either.
No.
So she's not the horror movie.
Mm-mm.
She's just. She's nice.
She's a nicer girlfriend.
She's a nicer girl.
And then the mama would say, when are you going to bring over that nicer girl you brought over like 12 years ago? We'd never see her. She's a nicer girl. But she's not hot, sexy.
No.
You wouldn't, you know, play whips and chains with her. You know?
To borrow a line from the movie itself.
Please.
When they were talking about Victoria. She likes to think she's rock and roll, but she's more of a carpenter's girl.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Sad. Oh, they do woodwork.
No.
The singers. Yeah, no.
That's exactly it. That's what's wrong with this movie. It's a nice movie.
It's a nice girlfriend. Yeah.
I can't say a lot of great stuff about it, but it didn't suck.
Mm-mm.
It didn't suck.
No, it didn't. It was an enjoyable movie.
And as we have evidence from Bob.
But was it a good lay, though? That's the question.
I don't know.
It a good... Mediocre? Oh, it's a mediocre lay. Yeah. Oh, that's a bad
Even Angelique, right? She's hot and sexy, and even Barnabas doesn't want her. Right?
I don't know.
He wants the good girl. He doesn't want the
sexy, crazy
witch girl.
Yeah, no.
Right. So, there you go. But I do want to stress, you don't have to be a fan of the original series.
No, absolutely not.
Bob's proved that. He's 18. He knows what
he
likes.
He's never watched the TV show series, old or new, in his life.
And he thought it was a fun movie.
He loved it. He loved it.
So,
but this is also the same guy that loves Sucker Punch too. So I question.
But see, this is not the same vein as
no,
that.
No, it's
is it?
Not. Well, it's said not, vein, yes.
Thank you. Sucker Punch is just a movie whose sole purpose is
it's
to
pretty.
Exist to exploit women. It's a sexy girls in tight clothes with guns blowing things up
mm-hmm.
and using martial arts occasionally. And it's just weird, but it's just, it's a sexploitation movie.
And
I mean,
Tiger Girls too, don't forget that part.
Ironically, if that movie had been made in the 70s, it would have been a sexploitation movie.
Mm-hmm. But now it's just for 18-year-old boys.
Yeah, now it's just blowing shit up.
Mm-hmm.
And boobs.
Yeah.
And it was good for that, but that was all that movie.
But there was no story to it.
No, there wasn't.
But we're totally digressing from that. And they never showed the dance scene.
Right.
They
but
never showed the dance scene.
That's my point. He is somebody who likes those kinds of movies, and he enjoyed this movie because it was a nice vampire movie.
And they had
it
explosions.
It was not a Twilight movie. And he loves horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you didn't say, but there was no gore or anything in this.
No, there was a little blood, a little bit.
But he apologized for all that.
Yes.
You cannot imagine how thirsty I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, mm-hmm. again, the gore in it is perfectly, it's understood exactly why he would be going and doing all this
of
killing.
Of course, because he had to. He
but
had no choice.
He was the gentleman vampire. So.
Okay.
There you go.
Shotgun
so
question
it.
For you. Shotgun question.
Yes.
Really fast.
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
Gentleman vampire or a monster vampire for you? Go.
For me?
Yes. Which one do you like?
I definitely prefer the gentleman vampire.
Ah.
I like a good monster, holy shit, did you just see what that guy did? Kind of scary kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. But I do prefer the gentleman monster. I do.
Ah.
I've always been a fan of Barnabas and Nick Knight.
Dracula.
And well, no, Dracula's
he,
not
he
really
was the
a...
He was the gentleman. Gentleman. Gentleman.
He was
not
more of a monster,
Nosferatu.
He was more of a
gentleman.
Monster, though.
Yeah.
Dracula...
He was a raw monster. Ah.
Dracula was only a gentleman because he used that to get the chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Barnabas didn't. Barnabas really was a gentleman
yeah.
who happened to be a vampire. Nick Knight was a gentleman who happened to be a vampire.
Yeah.
You know, Nick St. John, same thing. They were all... It wasn't their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Dracula was exactly the opposite. He was a monster who used the suave to get the girl and killed them.
Yeah, but isn't that the point?
They were food. But
see,
not to Barnabas.
I've got more the mentality of Dracula. I'll use the suave to get my lunch.
And you're
the opposite. You're gentleman suave through and through. I just need to eat right now.
I prefer the cursed. I don't want to have to do this, but I have to do this. I've always been attracted to that type of vampire.
That girl.
Well, I know, but I'm also...
I'm a messy eater, blah, blah, blah.
And what kind of girl was Lilith? She was a bad girl. She used sex to get what she wanted. She still had the heart of gold, though.
You have to dig for it. But if you're good, people would expect it.
That's right.
Ah!
So now, if you asked me, though, who I prefer in Vampire Diaries, however, I actually am a bigger fan of Damon than Stefan. Because...
Mm-hmm.
In that scenario, where you've got the two of them,
mm-hmm.
I think Stefan is kind of a pussy.
Yeah.
But he is the gentleman vampire. He's the brooding, I didn't want this.
Mm-hmm.
Damon is the one who's embraced it.
Yeah.
But he still isn't necessarily the killer who's suave. He's still tortured. But he just doesn't want to... He just doesn't wear his torture on his sleeve.
All right. My Interview with the Vampire?
Yes.
Lestat for me because he was ruthless. He used the suave to get his meal.
Right.
He really was cruel.
But Louis was the tortured soul.
The gentleman.
I kind of more identify with Louis, but for the most part, the stories were from Louis' perspective,
mm-hmm.
at least an interview was. In Lestat, I always thought Lestat was just a prick.
Yeah, but I like that prick.
I know, but see...
Mm-hmm.
In that dichotomy there between Louis and Lestat,
mm-hmm.
I still felt more for Louis. Lestat was just a douchebag. Until later books did you realize he did have humanity there.
Yeah.
But in the because originally it was from Louis' perspective,
Lestat was a douche. Uh-huh.
So I didn't identify with Lestat. I eventually would have come to. But like I said, with Vampire Diaries, you get the two,
mm-hmm.
and I actually like Damon more.
That's cool. Now, if you had rewritten Lilith's Love,
yes.
right, I would have more input about her being more ruthless.
Right.
With the gentleman.
Well,
I would have.
We've only seen that little bit
mm-hmm.
of Lilith in Lilith's
in
life.
In Texas.
We're going to get more about her. This is a spoiler for the books I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see more of who Lilith really was in mm-hmm. the past and will be in the future. Which is why mm-hmm. I'm working on those books, because Lilith was, we only see her in just that one scene when she's not with Donovan and she realizes who Donovan is.
Mm-hmm.
Lilith was just this woman who went from kind of town to town, situation
bed
to situation.
Bed, killing
bed to
killing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use the prostitute with a heart of gold, but it kind of is. That's really what she was. She slept, got her meal, and moved on.
Yeah.
That's what she did. But then she meets Donovan, who was the reincarnation of her first husband. And so she changes a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
But how?
I don't see a pattern that whatsoever, sweetheart.
I think we've chatted enough. So I give Dark Shadows an 8. You give it a 6.75.
6.75.
Let's wrap this up and we'll say farewell and we're going to play a song. The song is called Twilight.
Don't get too excited.
No. It's a really good song. It's by the band 11 Steps. And I got the music from Jamendo.
Jamendo.
Yes. It is another service that provides Creative Commons licensed PodSafe music.
Awesome.
So thank you to Jamendo. Thank you to Twilight. Thank you to 11 Steps. The song is Twilight. I hope you enjoy it. And we'll catch you soon. I promise.
We won't be so far and few in between.
No, but I think the next time you'll hear from us, it will be to talk about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Please! I'm looking forward to this.
Yes.
All right.
Right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Kills me or hold me at the end of the night.
That wraps up another episode of the Out of the Coffin podcast. Thanks for listening. This blog and podcast are copyright by Dan Charette and are released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike license, some rights reserved. If you have any comments about this podcast, feel free to drop a note at outofthecoffin.com/contact.